You are listening to Charmed City, a podcast about interesting people doing interesting things in and around Baltimore. I'm here today with rapper, entrepreneur, and community activist Greenspan. I first met Greenspan at a SoFar Sounds event in 2018 and was really inspired by his music and his message. And I'm really excited to speak with you, man. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm hyped, man. I really liked seeing your music when you were rapping with the full band and doing all that. And I thought that was really interesting. So
no, I appreciate being here, man. This is exciting.
Yeah, dude. So I always like to ask, like, who is Greenspan?
Greenspan is a lover of things, you know what I mean? I'm like you say, hip hop artist, entrepreneur. I'm a father, you feel what I'm saying? I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a cousin, you know what I mean? A lover, you feel me? yeah, definitely. Every time I introduce myself as Greenspan, Mr. Mid-Atlantic Baltimore to be exact, you feel what I'm saying? For years I've been moving around the region, and it's just interesting how my man L. Great has a quote in one of his songs, like, Baltimore is in Maryland, but it's not a part of the DMV. And what's interesting about that is, like, how, like, I've heard people say, yeah, the whole DMV and be more. It's like, yo, like, we're our own island or peninsula. Like, it's interesting. So it's like, yo, Mr. Mid-Atlantic Baltimore to be exact. Like, I'm from here, but you know what I mean? So, but yeah, man, just a creative spirit. You feel what I'm saying? You know, trying to make the world a better place, starting with Baltimore. You feel what I'm saying? Created several brands, initiatives that we just try to continue to move forward and push forward and highlight the creative initiatives of everybody in the city.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're definitely going to get into some of those initiatives and talk about some of that. Mm-hmm. I do want to start, you know, with Baltimore, with you, with music. So, you know, have you been in Baltimore your whole life?
Yes, born and raised here.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that, like, you know, being born and raised here, that's really inspired and influenced your music?
Sure, absolutely. My inspirations are life and experience. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think this definitely, being from here gives you a particular sense of resilience. You feel what I'm saying? And I've always felt like, yo, you could be from here, go anywhere and thrive and flourish. And you could be here, you could flourish within the city, or you can be stifled as well. And you know what I mean? It's a lot of shit that goes on, but not using any of those things as an excuse. It's just like, yo, the city is a maze. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's an uphill battle and climb to, you know, try to reach your goal sometimes. You feel me?
And so it's like navigating that maze to create what you create. Mm-hmm. And like, I know with you, you know, like, I feel like a lot of times with hip hop artists and whatnot, you have like the two extremes of people who are like making turn up music and people who are making like woke music. Mm. I like that you, I would say you kind of lean to the woke, but you still have some turn up in you.
Sure.
And I think that's really cool. And I think that's kind of Baltimore. Like,
yeah. I mean, and it's interesting because people like, I mean, over the years, people are like, yo, so what are you? Is you like gangster rap? You conscious? And I've always answered that question is I'm expressive. I'm expressing myself. And I make the music I want to hear. So it's like, you know, I've had producers send me tracks over the years. Like, I know you're going to like this. This is that real hip hop. And it's like, what does all of that mean? It's just me expressing myself. So don't necessarily send me a boom bat record that you may want to hear KRS-One over,
right?
When it's like, hey, I'm currently into Gucci Mane. This is where I'm listening to. This is where my heart is at. But I'm going to, the content is always going to speak to me and my life and experience. But as far as listenability, I may not want to sound like I'm, you know, what they call backpack rap. I hate phrases like that. It just categorizes stuff. It's just like, let them cook. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, I think like hip hop's such an interesting genre because I feel like, you know, there's the umbrella term of hip hop, rap, whatever. And like people are trying to create labels around it like they did with like rock and roll music. But like at the end of the day, you're all trying to make this, like you said, the stuff that you're interested at the time. And then that can be different based off of the time period that you're in at that moment.
Yeah. And the genre and culture have bloomed so much. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't stop it. It's like a growth that just won't stop. It just continues to spread like a wildfire. So it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I remember sitting in meetings with the Grammy Recording Academy and they talking about subgenres, right? And it's like how the Latin jazz community at one point, they took them off of the ballot. So they went and stood for it. They marched and everything got, long story short, they got it put back on the ballot because it's so many different sectors of jazz or types of jazz. It's like certain records shouldn't even be up against each other within a category.
Yeah.
So like with hip hop, it's like, are you going to necessarily have, again, KRS-One versus Gucci Mane for best hip hop album? Yeah, that does not make sense. You feel what I'm saying?
Of course.
So subgenres can be necessary. Right. You know?
Yeah. Like the mumble rap stuff and like people will like trap rap. It's like, there's so, right, I mean, right now hip hop in particular is at an interesting crossroads of just like, you hear it with like J. Cole or like YBN Cordae, like talking about like old heads versus new heads. And it's just like, you know, people are just trying to put on.
Yeah, I don't, my thing is just a dismissive nature. I don't like people being dismissive of anything. So if it's an older generation being dismissive of what's happening new, or even worse, the new generation being dismissive of what came before them.
Right.
You could say like, yo, that paved the way, but I'm not familiar with that material. Mm-hmm. Like Lupe, I remember Lupe quote Flack for when they did like a VH1 Honors and he was rapping a song about Tribe Called Quest and he messed up on the lyrics. He laughed it off and kept it going. But then when they, you know, they came down on him, he like, yo, I didn't grow up listening to that. You know what I mean? I just didn't. And it's not, you know, because he comes out with a record like Kick Push and the fact that he can rap, you feel like, oh, Tribe Called Quest should be your inspiration. It's like, no, not necessarily. That's not what he was listening to.
Like,
but the way I output and the way my music comes out, I rap like this. You feel what I'm saying? So it's just interesting that everybody has an opinion of especially how you should be delivering or how you should be respecting something. I believe in respecting something, but that doesn't mean you're as familiar with it as they may want you to be.
Right. In terms of influencing, I think that's a influence. That's a really good segue into just like, so who, what artists are your biggest influences?
So as far as rappers, AZ, heavy in the Wu, well, I was heavy in the Wu. Like I've always told people, like AZ's Do or Die album and Raekwon's Ice Cream video. I was like, yo, that's the reason I rap. You know, that's what got me started. But I mean, from Jay-Z, I think Jay-Z is the greatest of all times for several reasons. We don't have to go there. That's a whole nother conversation. You know, Biggie, Nas, Black Thought, The Lox. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's so much other music I've listened to. I grew up off gospel. Grew up in a Baptist church. Erykah Badu, Marvin Gaye. Like I'm well versed with music. My brother was a music director at a jazz station for some years, you know what I mean? So Fleetwood Mac, you know what I mean? Like I love all different types of music. So just music in general and just being able to, it's like a melting pot of music in my head. So
And you find that influences the what you output?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question. All the music I listen to, everything I listen to, I try to, you know, just, you know, listen for understanding, like how and why they're creating the sounds that they're creating.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? And I appreciate certain musicians and the different instruments they play. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I find with the rappers who listen to the most diverse amount of music are the ones who I personally think are going to create the most unique stuff. You know, like I saw an interview with JPEG Mafia the other day, like hanging out with the lead singer from Wilco, and I was like, how?
That's dope.
Yeah, it's like,
why not though?
Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah.
It's like, I think it was a Sundance. I think it's Sundance. They did a Iconoclast, and they would have like, I think they had Richard Branson and Bishop Tutu together. You know what I mean? Had them on the beach, or they had like Alicia Keys and Ruby Dee. You feel what I'm saying? Just taking people from two different walks of life, putting them together and letting them have a conversation, have lunch, go swimming, just build and just bust it up. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yo, we may be more similar than we are different. We just don't know it.
Yeah,
you know
for sure. Yeah, for sure. So how long, I'm just curious, like how long have you been, you know, rapping, writing, performing?
15 years, going on 16 years. It's been a minute.
What was like, I know you said that, you know, the you said it was the Raekwon video.
Ice Cream. That was like 94, 95. You know, it was just like, yo, we gonna do that. You feel me? So like when Raekwon verse come in, like goes in his mouth, bucket hat in the sneaker store, a whole bunch of females around. It's like, yo, it's crazy, you know what I mean? So it was stuff like that we're really into. My homeboy, he went by K Black, Kevin Glee, like around that same time, like, you know, we just interested in hip hop. You feel what I'm saying? He went on to do battles with like Los on these DVDs and whatnot. And it's just interesting how certain stuff would just stick with you and be influential. Like, yo, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you start exploring it and finding your voice and determine whether you're any good or not, it's like, oh, all right, yeah, we can pursue this. You know,
did you have like a moment where you were like, oh, okay, like, yo, this is what I want to do?
Yeah.
That like light bulb moment almost.
I think the light bulb moment was after, I mean, for a whole lot of things, even in business, it's like what they call proof of concept. It's like after you see it actually works a little bit and you can even like, hey, we can get better at this, but it we have something here.
Yeah.
I recorded a song called Internal Incarceration, 3 verses and a hook or whatever, and it was over Mobb Deep's Mobb Deep and Kool G Rap, the realest beat that Alchemist did. And I did a song called Internal Incarceration around like 02 or 03. And it was just like, oh yeah, we have something here. Like, I'm not trash. So let's, you know what I mean? Let's continue. You know what I mean? And my homeboy, I remember Julian Kess, go by Luciano. Him and his brother had the studio, TMG Music. And we're recording with those guys. And it just, you know, it was like, all right, we got something here. Let's just continue to pursue.
Yeah, and I was reading through some of the content on you and like on your website, and I saw that like one of your early songs got like a feature or like a sponsorship from Scion or something.
Yeah, so my first mixtape, actually, we ended up re-releasing it when we got the Scion sponsorship. So what happened, this was 08, if I'm not mistaken, we released Got Green earlier in the year, and then later on, just doing shows and whatnot, we actually had a show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So somebody saw me perform. We giving out CDs. Like after the performance, people were reaching hand over fist for the CDs. So that's it was crazy, right? So fight broke out and all that. We jumped off stage where the fight was going on. Like, we ain't gonna stop our show. Like they just was like, you know, these Baltimore guys, we like it, you know what I mean? So somebody was in the crowd that put his D with a third party company, and they put his D with the Scion situation, got a check, did a little release event at what used to be Red Maple, had a Scion parked out front, whatever, but the check cleared. That was the main point, you know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, all right. So seeing that as a first check in music or getting paid for my creativity, like it was a nice little check at the time. It's like, oh, all right, let's keep going.
Yeah. That was the first moment that like you got paid basically.
That was the first real moment of getting paid.
Hell yeah, dude. And like since then, I know you've just continued to grind, continue to put out singles, videos, records. We'll get into some of those singles and records in a little bit. But one thing I want to talk about is like you toured, right? Like you've been doing tours. Mm-hmm. You know, where have you, like, what are some places that you've been? Where have you gone?
So yeah, I did a West Coast tour with my man Substantial. Shouts out to him and Marcus D. They both solo artists, but together they're Bop Alloy. Mm-hmm. So I toured, but then we did a West Coast tour. So we did seven or eight cities down the West Coast, from Seattle down to San Diego. Yeah, you awesome. Feel what I'm saying? So yeah, and I mean, it was just love. It was an awesome experience. You feel what I'm saying? Just learning from those guys for real, and just seeing how it works, and just seeing like even putting a smaller crowd in the building, how you could just clean up selling your merch and all that, and just people really just having the what they call like a super fan, people that are really into you, and not just like seeing you on the residual tip. Like for instance, I was the opener for the tour, so it was like, all right, by default, you're here, so we'll see you. If you're dope, then that's a plus, and we'll come spend some money with you, but we're here to see them. But that was these guys' super fans, and it just made sense. I seen them clean up on merch, and just like, yo, you can get money. You put 100 bodies in a building in a bunch of different territories, you can get money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was
eye-opening for you?
Absolutely, yeah. Any touring is eye-opening for you because you can see the differences in the geographical differences. You feel what I'm saying? It's like... And it might not always be the same to just judge one trip to, say, San Diego, and it's like, oh, this is how San Diegans carry it, or this type of money they're going to spend. But no, just seeing that versus Philadelphia, if you will. You feel what I'm saying? It's just see how the different crowds even react to different, whether it's music, whether it's how receptive they are to certain stuff, and then spending money at the end of the night. It's just interesting to see how you interact with people. And then people want to be able to touch you, not physically, but just on some, like, the days are... I mean, I think it's a perspective thing, not just the days are over, but like sending people like, oh, holler at my manager. Oh, he over there. Like, you can't, like being untouchable, like that's unnecessary unless you really got something to protect. You feel what I'm saying? But it's like, no, if you people can like relate and touch you, take pictures with you and shit, take selfies and all that. It's like, no, like I rock with him. He got my support forever because he was just a cool dude. Mm-hmm. Swing him the blunt. You know what I mean? It's
Yeah, and I think you see that a lot with like, artists who utilize like social media to really blow up their followings. Mm-hmm. And I think in today's like landscape, you see artists who might not have been as big as they were without their connection to their fans.
Absolutely.
Like you're talking about and being accessible and responding
to
Twitter.
That's the sustainability factor. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
That's awesome, man. I know that, you know, you tour a bunch. Do you feel like you're representing Baltimore when you are out there?
Absolutely. Herb's in Baltimore every day.
Yeah. How do you do that? What are some ways in which you feel like it or you do it?
Sure. So definitely, I think one, just being true to myself, you feel what I'm saying? Baltimore made me, you feel what I'm saying? So in particular, our brand, I wear this brand every day from Baltimore with Love, you feel what I'm saying? So I wear the label that pays me, you know what I mean? So, So in that, and that's, I mean, without even opening my mouth, that's one thing. I remember being in New Orleans, like, as soon as we touched down, we just start walking the street. And as soon as we check into the hotel, and it's like, just people like, y'all from Baltimore? Or just read my shirt from Baltimore with love. And for instance, we kept on walking. We ran into a guy from Baltimore. He's like, y'all from B-more? I'm going to be up home for the Poly City tailgate in a couple weeks. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was just cool to like, all right, cool. Like, you know, people can read. You know what I mean? But I mean, whether it's in the music, you know what I mean? We got songs with like Never Gonna Die or Cool or whatever. We're refusing hip-hop in Baltimore Club. You know what I mean? The tempos may be slower, but the club element is there. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, how we talk or whatever it may be. The first thing people... the correlation to Baltimore is The Wire. So first time you say Baltimore, they see the shirt or whatever, they like, is it anything like The Wire? Or just bring up The Wire.
Yeah, every like, time.
That's cool, but it's so much more to the city. You feel what I'm saying? Or when out of town is in town and they asking about something to do, whatever, like, it's nothing to do in Baltimore. It's like, you just don't know. It's so many things to do. You feel what I'm saying? It's so textured and cultured, or the culture is so rich. It's just like, you just have to know or tap into somebody that does know. But yeah, I'm representing Baltimore every step of the way.
Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, from Baltimore with love. What, like, I'm looking at you right now. You're wearing the hat. You're wearing the T-shirt. I know you did a tour for it. What is From Baltimore with Love?
So From Baltimore with Love, actually, I mean, it started off as, well, not even the merch. Just before, I think, 2017, we did a show called From Baltimore with Love. Me, my man, Kariz, Marcel, Leah Songbird. We all performing with our live bands, situation like that. So it was just a thought and a concept at first. Then it just moved forward. I did the tour last year. We did the East Coast tour, the From Baltimore with Love tour. After that, and before my son was born, the merch came about, right? And then since then, like, this brand, if you will, and movement has moved even past just the rap music. Is several people that have bought into it that have no idea about the music, right? And it could simply just be a tool to reel people into the music, but it's so much bigger than that. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like we allowed it to stand alone. And it's just to encourage a more positive outlook and conversation about the city. You know what I mean? It's like letting people know, hey, you already know the reputation of Baltimore, what the reputation is, right? But we come in peace. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not much to say. It's all said on my shirt, on my chest. You know what I mean? So, you know, respect the culture. I come in peace and with love. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just want to push forward.
For sure. I mean, I love that. And I kind of, that kind of goes hand in hand with what I'm trying to do here, you know, like showcase people like you, people like, you know, the other people that I've interviewed who are spreading positivity, who are spreading good within the community that, you know, in the majority of the media has been, you know, shown as maybe not the safest place or the most loving place, but there is so much love here and there is so much creativity that comes from all of that. And that's what like we're here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned earlier that like you play with a live band.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Like why is that important?
I prefer it. You know what I mean? Like I said, even like my upbringing with music, like observing how it goes, like for instance, growing up in the church, right? It's like, it's not a DJ in church running tracks. You feel what I'm saying? And the choir singing to tracks. It could happen, but it's like, no, it's a live situation. You know, I perform my DJ, one of my DJs, anytime. That's cool. But just with the live band aspect, it's more control. Like, we can, like, break it down. Like, we ain't got to go into the hook right now. Let's do this. You know what I mean? It's more improv. You feel what I'm saying? It's just, the control and the improv, and you can make up things on the spot. And I just love live music. I really appreciate musicians. You feel what I'm saying? I think it's, you know, one, being able to rap or songwrite or just come out the top and freestyle, that's great. But I've always been intrigued with somebody who can play an instrument. It's like a whole nother level of intelligence and science to me. You feel what I'm saying? Especially considering piano or strings. It's like, when you don't know how to do that with that particular instrument, it's just like, you're a wizard, bro. What are you doing? You know what I mean? So I just appreciate it for real. So anytime I could fuse what I do into any live musicianship, I really respect the craft.
Yeah. Do you work with, do you typically work with the same musicians, or are you working with all sorts of musicians on different products?
I'm open to work with all different musicians. A lot of times I work with some of the same musicians, but I'm not limited to doing that whatsoever. And so many musicians and some, realm of musicians, it'd be like the same the same relationships, the same, you know, core. It's like everybody knows everybody when it comes to, you know, playing live for somebody. Or for instance, if I rap with one guy in particular as MD, as my music director, he'll book you know, so and so and so and so. And then like, oh, this bass player isn't available, so we're gonna go to the other guy. So it'll be a bunch of musicians I run into and we've hit together before or whatever, or I've met you in some capacity. So it's all love. Bunch of people, everybody know each other.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
And is it the same kind of thing for like recording your albums? Are you using live musicians or are you typically using beats?
Typically beats, but adding live instrumentation over top of some of them. Like for instance, a producer may have a particular bass line programmed, and I might like, yo, this will be dope live. You feel what I'm saying? So we could just, you know, get the splits, take the bass out, let somebody come in and play it live. You know what I mean? You know, this upcoming music, we're definitely doing more with live.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, as long as it's about it sounding good and just getting the sound that you desire, you feel what I'm saying? I'm not like, hey, I want to do this live album, unless that's the play that we call
it. You feel me? So you said you're coming out with new music. I know you just dropped a single. when's that out? When are you expecting that album?
I don't know.
All right.
So I mean, I have an EP that's sitting out, like, for instance, the From Baltimore of Love EP is just like been done, right? Just working on new music and just, you know, I've been focused on fatherhood. So I've been allowing this year of you know, my introduction to fatherhood or whatever to just grow me and inspire me as well. So I definitely believe my next work is my best work, but I'm just allowing it to continue to shape me on a daily basis so I can write the best music I can.
I think that's important.
Yeah,
I
mean, absolutely.
I think always for creative, like taking a step back and being like, yo, let me like.
Yeah, and it's like going through life so you have something to even write about. It's like I'm not getting on the track and just making some words rhyme so we could just, you know, I mean, we want to vibe with the music, but it's like, no, like we have stories. We have things that we want to talk about and say and represent. So it's just like, let life happen. You got more shit to talk about.
Got you. So yeah, I love that, man. I really do. What's like the Baltimore hip hop community like?
It's diverse and it's just not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not as shallow as people may think. Like everybody knows each other. I mean, maybe know each other will be familiar with each other, but in my opinion, there's so many pockets. Just the creative scene, period. I mean, whatever music we're talking about, so many different pockets, cliques, or whatever. It's like, you know, you may have some shows at the Crown, and it may be, or there is a whole community or communities of people that have never been to the Crown or
right.
never performed at the Crown. You may be at Auto Bar, or maybe South Baltimore, or maybe over South, wherever, like where the guy Prophet is. Like, then it's so many different, like, pockets and I guess subsectors of like Baltimore hip hop, in my opinion. We may do more things that's more centralized, whether it be a Motor House or have done stuff at Wind Up when Wind Up was still there. I mean, we've done shows everywhere over the years, but it's just I've seen certain artists like not even touch particular venues, you know, whether it's by choice or they've never got booked.
Yeah.
Or just may not be familiar with them because they stay on their side of town.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of that goes on. I think that's just a Baltimore thing anywhere. Sometimes people in East Baltimore never go over west.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, it's 15 minutes away. You know what I mean? But yeah, so it's a lot of collaborations I would love to see, but it's certain people that just don't know each other. You know
right.
what I mean?
No, so, I understand that. And even like you said, within different music, like different music scenes are going to be in different places, different venues and whatnot. Yeah. Also, I just want to like clarify a lot of those venues you just named, like, you know, the Crown, Auto Bar, Motor House. Those are all venues here in Baltimore City. They do all sorts of different types of events. They do music, they do comedy, they do a lot of live art. Mm-hmm. Really great DIY space in like the Charles Village, Station North, Creative District, like in and around MICA. So just wanted to put some clarification around those names.
Sure.
Yeah, man. So did you have any like mentors in music?
Absolutely. So when it comes to Baltimore hip hop, first and foremost, my brother Ooh from Brownfist. His name is Derek Jones. He passed away. You know what I mean? God rest his soul. But Ooh from Brownfish, always give him credit. My man Ogun, Scott Akbar. I definitely like watch those guys coming up. You feel what I'm saying?
And were they Baltimore guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So Brownfish is a legendary Baltimore band. You feel what I'm saying? So Ooh being the you know, the MC. But yeah, those guys, I would just watch those guys. More so, I think, you know, Ooh and Ogun definitely. And then just moving forward, Substantial definitely taught me a lot when it comes to this whole music thing and music business. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's
I
awesome,
give all
man.
Those guys the most respect and credit.
Yeah, great. So back in March, you came out with a single called Healthy.
Healthy People.
Yeah, Healthy People.
Mm-hmm.
What's that song about?
healthy people.
Yeah.
It's like, but
you know what I mean? Like,
no, I feel you. I'm bullshitting. Yeah, yeah. So, I'm backtracking. I'm trying to remember the lyrics. Like, what is it about? But like love, like the first line I say, investing in love, you know what I mean? So, and that's to me, that's a tie-in, like, healthy people in terms of mind frame and actual health. You know, I got the food awareness initiative, no food deserts. You feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So it's like, no, it's about that. And like, you know, minding what you eat, what you put into your body, but and at the same time, what you put into your mind and your spirit as well. So just being like healthy, on the tip of like, you know, like what I put in is going to come out and be regurgitated. So it's like, you know what I mean? I want to speak life. I want to speak mm-hmm. health into you, you know what I mean? And not just be destructive or gossipy or whatever the fuck. So it's just about mindset and love overall. Like when you talk about love, it's not just romance. You feel what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, putting you deep with some game. If I say something to you that you ain't noticed that I noticed and I'm putting you deep so you can avoid some trouble going forward, like that's love, you know what I mean? So shit like that. So
right. Yeah, that's like kind of beautiful. Like, you know, just like love, doesn't, like you said, it doesn't need to be like romantic love. It's just
at
like,
all. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned that initiative. We're definitely going to talk about that in a little here. I do want to just ask, like, why is it important for you, or why do you feel it's important to have messages within your music?
I mean, just the power of influence. You feel what I'm saying? It's like I know some people be like, you know, not a role model or whatever like that. And that's fine. I dig it. It's like, yo, this is my canvas. I just want to paint. If you don't like it, don't want your kids to hear it, keep them from it. I totally get that, which is fine to an extent. But, you know, I think as a creative, you have some level of responsibility, mm-hmm. whatever that level may be.
Right.
I can't tell somebody what their responsibility is because it's like that's between you and your creator. Right. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's just, I mean, like I said, my music is just expressive. So like in sitting there writing and like pouring my heart and my thoughts out, it's not necessarily in the mind, or the mission isn't necessarily to like change someone's life or save it necessarily. It's just like me pouring my heart out. So if me being a good guy just happens to come out in the music, dope. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to be destructive. That's the point. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, I just got love in me and it needs to come out. I was sitting reflecting. I was taking some notes, like some self notes one day, and I was just like writing down for myself the strengths and weaknesses or whatever. And on the weakness column, I sat and thought about it, and I'm like, yo, what it was, empathy and passion was a weakness of mine, in my opinion. It's a strength, but it's like, I'm like, yo, I'm like empathy king. Like something may be happening to somebody and I see it or hear about it or whatever. They might not be directly connected, but I may or may not be heard about the shit because I get it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that has
it
to
affects
do with,
you emotionally.
To me, it has to do with life experience, going through things or just seeing what affects other people. So if it's family or not, you just see the shit and it's like, damn, I don't wish that on my enemy. You know what I mean? Because shit is crazy. I already see what that can do.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that's all. Just, you know, having a heart and having a concern for people because shit, you know, shit be fucked up. For real.
Yeah. I mean, that's some of the wisest words I've ever heard. Shit be fucked up.
You know what I mean? Straight up.
Yeah. I'm sure like being a father now, that's affected your music, right?
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah, fatherhood is lit. You know what I mean? It's definitely lit. You know, my son, his name is Lauren Allen. You know what I mean? We call him LA. You feel what I'm saying? Love always. You feel me? You know what I mean? True player. You know what I mean? That's my buddy, though. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know what else to say. That's my guy. It's just,
yeah.
You know, his smile is just so beautiful. So it's just like, you know, I could be just blown or pissed off from the day or whatever may happen. I see him running to me or whatever the case may be. Like, it's like releasing a pressure valve. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's my buddy. And as long as I, you know, he keep me going. You feel
that's
what I'm saying?
Up.
So, yeah.
Sick. So in 2016, you came out with your most recent project, and that's called
Never Gonna Die.
Mm-hmm. You know, what was going on then, and like what, you know, what inspired that record?
So I'm a follow-up to my first album. This was Never Going Down was my 9th project, but my 2nd album, right?
Mm-hmm. Like studio album.
Studio album, mm-hmm. Yes. Everything else I considered a mixtape, or EP. So the Never Going Down, just working on Never Going Down post Stairway to Heaven, which was the first album. And the original title for the album was actually TODM, Tithes on the Dirty Money. So tithes is like 10% you pay in church or whatever, you know what I mean,
okay.
Biblically, right? So it's pay 10% of your increase. But so tithes on the dirty money. I mean, that to me, that's self-explanatory. But I changed it to Never Gonna Die because in between time when I was working on the album, a bunch of songs didn't make the album, and then I experienced loss. So, my cousin, Shay, we called him Lil Fowl, he was murdered. And then Ooh from Brownfish, like within the same like 24 hours,
Ooh passed away. So sorry to hear that, man.
I appreciate it. So both of those guys passed away, which was crazy. That was 2014 and 2015. My father passed away.
Damn,
so like on that tip, it was in my mind, it was about keeping him alive. So it was like, yo, never gonna die. You know what I mean? Eternal life, that concept. So that's what, how that changed. But that's... so that's what that was about. And then certain songs got added to the mix. I actually have an Ooh verse that was previously recorded on the record. You know what I mean? I have my father's voice on the record. I have my cousin Shay's voice on the record. And then I made Ooh and Fowl the honorary executive producers of the record as well. You feel what I'm saying? So that was what that project was about.
And that's a great homage to them, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's real sad, obviously, it's nice to hear that you were able to, you know, pay your respects and keep doing your creativity, and it didn't put you in such a negative space that you wouldn't be able to put something like that out.
Yeah, I mean, it did, but it's like,
but it could derail
you.
Yeah, true.
It was definitely what's the word? Like stunning or whatever. It was paralyzing. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For a time, I remember getting a word about my cousin Fowl. I was at Easy Jackson's house. Shouts out to my man Easy. At Easy's house for like a recap meeting for a concert we did called Baltimore Indie Fest at the 8x10.
Oh, sick!
Awesome night. Last time I seen Fowl and Ooh, right? So fast forward, we were at Easy house drinking, chilling, shit like that. My girl was like, hey, your cousin on the phone, and got the call about my cousin Shay. Like, yo, niggas just killed my little brother. And it's like, yo, I was on a high from this show and we were recapping about it. And then fast forward, just getting that phone call. You know what I mean? It was just like, yo, really? You feel what I'm saying? So that's like a lesson, you don't ever want to live life in fear that, hey, bad news might be around the corner. But it's almost like, yo, like, a lesson in protecting your own peace, as opposed to like, don't get too high off of, figuratively high off of like, oh, it's lit, whatever like that, and you put your guard down, because it's like, anything can happen. You can catch a flat tire, you feel what I'm saying? Anything. So it's just like, yo, you gotta stay on your, you know what I mean, stay on your square, and just like, all right, I'm just ready, you know what I mean, as opposed to living in fear.
Yeah, I mean, and that's in a sad way, in an unfortunate way, that goes back to how Baltimore might inspire your music.
No, true.
And like, you know, at the end of the day, there is a lot of negative that happens, mm-hmm. but being able to try and overcome that and being able to try and create something that has that positive message and that positive spin is so important.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah.
Again, I just want to say I'm so sorry to hear about all,
oh, no doubt,
all
no
that,
doubt.
Man.
I appreciate the respect.
So, I mean, outside of music, you do a lot of projects, a lot of, like you said, you're an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
Or like I said, you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you never gave yourself that title. I gave you that title. And you're definitely a community activist. One thing that you mentioned was the No Food Deserts.
Mm-hmm.
What is that project?
So No Food Deserts is just a food awareness initiative. I mean, one, nofooddeserts.com, it's a hat store, if you will, right? There's a link on there where you could find, like nationally, you can find, it's a link to like a USDA little form where you could find farmers markets in your area. But it's food awareness initiative, just to educate people, because some people in my travels have not even heard the phrase food desert, right?
Yeah, what is that?
So food desert is urban areas where people don't have the direct access to the fresh produce, right? Mm-hmm. So some people, Baltimore City or and beyond, it's like within a mile radius or quarter mile radius, depending on how they analyze it. Here it's a quarter mile, but within that quarter mile radius or walking distance, it's fast food or corner stores where people have to rely on like chips and soda for their sustenance. You feel what I'm saying? They may or may not sell bananas. You know what I mean? The vegetables may just be frozen vegetables or whatever. And it's like, yo, us as human beings, we need like to be eating our colors. You feel what I'm saying? Like not just eat wrap snacks and Lays. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You need some kale. You know what I mean? So that's it. Just no food deserts. The food deserts is where you don't have that access to like an urban farm or to a supermarket with like the stuff you really need, like for sustenance. So I've worked with a bunch of great people that have done more on the groundwork than I have, like a Dominic Nell and the Food Project, Brother Juan and Healthy People Juice, Dove Co. Cafe. These people were instrumental in doing like the produce pop-ups. And I've assisted, you feel what I'm saying? Yeah. I've come in and assisted and worked with these guys and doing some of these pop-ups and then just push the message forward with our hats. But that's the point is it's not just a hat company. The hats would even be more successful when I was on the ground with these people doing the actual work. So that's what it is. Just continuing the conversation about that. No food deserts.
And then for every hat purchased, a percentage of that goes to...
So yeah, at the time, especially in the fruition of the hats, the beginning of the hats, we online, we had 3 donation partners. So you could select at checkout the donation partner. So 10% of the sale would go to them. So, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, that's awesome. And it's like partially donating money, partially spreading awareness. All in all, it's just like a good cause. Why is it important, like, to you specifically to spread that message?
Mm-hmm. The whole point was feeding the people. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, some people live in a bubble and they don't see any hardships that other people have to go through.
Yeah.
So like, for instance, for people not to even like hear the phrase is one thing. It's like, if you know the issue, that's one thing. You don't have to know that people call it a desert, a food desert, right? But to just be oblivious to the whole thing or just think like, well, those people over there should just blah, blah, A, B, and C. And it's like, oh, you're so naive to certain things because you just live in your bubble. Nah. So the No Food Desert hat would actually start conversation. And that was a beautiful thing. Some people see it like, no food desserts. I don't get it. It's like, well, desserts have 2 S's. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it just gave opportunity for educate. Even like, for instance, walking through Whole Foods, I remember seeing a woman that either worked in the bakery or in like, you know, where they sliced the turkey, the deli. She was like, desserts? I don't get it. What is it? You know, so that was an opportunity for education. You feel what I'm saying? So just letting her know what we actually were talking about.
Hell
and
yeah.
That just allows for the community buyer.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's up. That's great, dude. I love to hear that. Like, one thing is, like, why do you think, like, why does Baltimore specifically need projects like that?
Man, because it's so much working against us. It's so much working against the people. Like, if you don't have no... And I mean, it's not just about money, but it's like, you know, certain people, like, I mean, that are just without, you know, like, they need somebody fighting for. You feel what I'm saying? You need somebody fighting for them or fighting for us. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just, if it's not one thing, it's another. And not just in this city. You feel what I'm saying? I've been to other cities and just like, you know, oh, I love it here. I love it here. And then you go under that bridge and see the homelessness. It's like, oh, this ain't nothing like under 83. This is crazy. Oakland in particular.
Yeah.
It's like, it just hurt my heart. You know what I mean? So, but whatever. But yeah, it's like, you know, so many areas that were definitely considered food deserts here. I know there's been work towards it outside of just like the produce pop-ups that would happen, but just certain things working towards giving people access, you know what I'm saying? And it's interesting, I believe, here with the Department of Sustainability, we talked, and with our literature, we lined up with their literature, and like I said, they consider food desert a quarter mile radius, where certain, like, the median household income is less than 30,000, people don't have a car, and there's not a market within a quarter mile. And at the time, the USDA was making it a mile. And it's like, yo, a mile radius? People shouldn't have to walk to and from a mile with bags. You feel what I'm saying?
Far.
Or even have to catch the bus with a bunch of bags to feed their family. It's like, yo, that's like, you know what I mean? That's
and it's not like the public transportation here is that good.
That part. So it's like, you know what I mean? So definitely need initiatives towards that. No Food Deserts was just, you know, just... was playing a part. You feel what I'm saying? When, like I said, a whole lot of people were actually doing the actual work. Any urban farmer, a gentleman around our neighborhood just recently donated to us a raised bed. So we're planting some stuff. You feel what I'm saying? Got a little bit of late start. So next spring will be lit. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? But yeah, we need that because people, like I said, and then it has to come with some consumer education. I know initiatives that's like, hey, we did this produce initiative at this school. It ended up being a failure. Mm-hmm. And then you think about it and how they were going about it. It's like maybe it needed to be restructured based on staffing and then consumer education. If you give somebody a vegetable that they've never seen or consumed before, they may be like, yo, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, they might not know how to cook it or if they even should cook it or not cook it.
That's what I'm saying. So certain stuff like that has to come with some consumer education unless you're just giving them greens and carrots that they used to. You feel what I'm saying? But yeah, if people don't know that they need it, it's like you just can't come in the community and tell people what they need. You feel what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, sometimes it's mindsets that need to change.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, what can somebody do to help with that?
With changing mindsets or just within these initiatives, period?
Both, yeah.
Understand what the problem is. Boom, we just talked about it. Okay, find out who's actually working towards that. And in my opinion, as opposed to just necessarily branching off to do your own thing, see if you can assist with what's already established, mm-hmm. right?
Make what's there better.
Right. I mean, and sometimes, you know, sometimes that doesn't work depending on the industry we're talking about. Sometimes that doesn't work because of differences of opinions of how people work, et cetera, working relationships, et cetera. But when you can get past all that and understand what the issue is, like, hey, this is a bigger thing than me and you, right? Let's agree to disagree. Let's work together. How can I help? If it's my resources, your initiative, boom, let's do it.
Yeah.
If it's your resources and my effort, whatever the fact. So it has to be a willingness to collaborate. Some people just aren't willing to collaborate or listen because everybody wants to be the boss. And that's a problem sometimes when it's like, yo, the issue is this fire and it's just spreading. Put the water on the fire. Yeah, that's the whole point. You feel what I'm saying? It's not about me and you, right?
Who's throwing the bucket.
That's the thing. So it could be, you know, it could be as something as simple as reposting somebody's post. Like, hey, this farm situation is going on, or this produce pop-up is happening, or go out there and roll your sleeves up and volunteer for a couple hours. There's so many different ways you can assist and you can help, mm-hmm. You know, and just get out the way. You know what I mean? Get out your own way, get out of people's way. If you're not going to help, shut up. If you ain't got nothing positive to say, shut up. You know what I mean?
I feel that. So I guess I'm going to turn it back a little bit. You know, you're doing a lot. You do a lot. You do a lot of these creative pursuits. You do a lot of these projects. Like, do you have anything else that I might not have covered or anything else that you want to cover that I might not be knowing of?
I don't know. So it's always something. And like, I'll leave here. I swear I'll leave here and be like, oh yeah, I'm doing this as well. Like, whatever. But for this month, we'll be having a couple pop-up events with For Rent Shoes. For Rent Shoes is 515 Cathedral Street. And, you know, they've opened their doors to a bunch of local brands.
Yeah, they actually just did an event with the Baltimore Comedy Festival.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yep. So yeah, they opened their doors this year to a bunch of brands, allow people to do installations, and they're carrying some pieces. So they'll be carrying From Baltimore With Love, and we have a couple collaboration pieces, one with Good Villain Clothing, that's my partners as well, and one with Akio Sweatshop. My man Akio does like custom sneakers and some different custom designs. So we'll have some pieces in For Rent Shoes starting mid-September, and we'll do a couple you know, launch parties and couple different initiatives. And in October we'll be doing some things at the Cardinal Space, which is on North and Park, and we'll do some things there and have a couple people that we're collaborating with, some visual artists, filmmakers, etc. It's going to be a good end of the year for us. Yeah,
dope. Yeah, man, that's great to hear. And I'm gonna have to come through.
No, definitely come through, you know what I mean? And you know, follow From Baltimore With Love .com, From Baltimore With Love on IG, Facebook, everything, so we can definitely keep people you know, abreast of what's going mm-hmm. on. You feel what I'm saying? And definitely any other way we can move forward and collaborate to you know, accelerate what you got going on, we're open to that. Definitely.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. So one thing I found online, you were on The Wire.
Yeah, I was on two episodes of
you
The
were
Wire,
two episodes.
Actually.
How was that?
It was cool.
Parts.
Yeah, small parts. Both of them were speaking parts, though. So it made me SAG eligible, and I still get residual checks. They small checks, but they coming. They keep coming.
That's so funny.
So I never joined the Screen Actors Guild, though. I should have, but whatever. So, but yeah, this second season, and the fourth season. Second season, I remember we was like behind McCullough Holmes and. Chase a dope fiend down to spend his money. He didn't, so we bust him over the head with glass bottles and shit like that. I remember that. And then the fourth season, it was I bought like condoms, Dyson, and blunts from Bubbles' little cart. I remember my line said, "Give me fresh Dyson, a pack of Trojans." Matter of fact, you got Philly blunts too. You know what I mean? I remember. You know what I mean?
Oh man.
Yeah, it was cool. Good experience. You feel what I'm saying? It's just meeting some of the people in the cast, like good people. Andre Royo, that's the guy that played Bubbles. He's real, you know what I mean? Cool guy, humble guy. The guy that played Bunk, he was a real cool, humble guy. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's, people.
I mean, I think that I just wanted to like talk about that because I'm personally interested in it. I think that's super cool. I did a little bit of a deep dive on the internet to find.
No, that's cool. That's love. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was interesting times, and just, you know, just having the opportunities is just cool.
Yeah, man. Yep. So I just, you know, we're gonna like kind of wind down a little bit here, but I'm mm-hmm. curious, like, who are some of your favorite Baltimore artists right now?
Oh man, so absolutely, my brother Feeve, shouts out to him. Good Villain Clothing, you already know. Easy Jackson just released his album called Fool. That's dope. Y'all definitely check that out. If you don't know Easy Jackson, you know what I mean? He's part of the Soul Cannon band, like legendary as far as I'm concerned. I like what what's the boy name? I like what Moose is doing, Young Moose. Damn, what's the dude's name? I can't think. I'll think about it in a second. But I don't know. It's a lot of people doing anything. My thing is, when it comes to Al Rogers, I love what Al Rogers does. Kariz Marcel, Joy Postel. When people are being their true authentic self, to me, that's half the battle. So you're already dope, as far as I'm concerned. The listenability is a different conversation. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, if you're being your true authentic self, and then it's like, and then the music is dope, in my opinion, it's like, you're the greatest of all time. You know what I mean? It's just about really like being true.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's people I really love and appreciate what they do. Some that I name, I mean, but I'd be naming all day if I really just tried to sit back and name.
Yeah,
but
do you have any collaborators that you want to like give a shout out to, or that you like have loved working with?
My man Graffiti Tech, no doubt. Like Graffiti Tech is one of the greatest of all time. That's my guy.
Is he a rapper? Or producer?
He's a producer, DJ, remixer, graphic artist. Like he's dope. Graffiti Tech is way dope. Like I said, Kariz Marcel, he's crazy. Shouts out to him. He just did his single for him and his team did a single for Jadena. Jadena is under Janelle Monae on that label or whatever, their family or whatever, but it's a single called Susu, S-O-U-S-O-U, and that jams for real. So my man Jates, you feel what I'm saying? I mean, it's a bunch of people, man. I'm just I'm blessed to have been able to meet so many dope people, you feel what I'm saying, and work with so many dope people.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So I know you kind of talked about what's going on, September, October, you're working on the album, you got that EP almost ready or about ready.
Yeah,
but
From Bottom of Love EP been sitting, man.
Yeah. It's just, So, with all that, is there anything like what else is next? What's on the horizon for Greenspan?
Yeah, man. One, we're focusing our energy behind my brother Thieves, his project release. You feel what I'm saying? I believe it's the title is God Ain't Gonna Bless No Sucker. You know what I mean? So And his material was real dope, and he got material sitting. You feel what I'm saying? So, just stacking it up, understanding we're not racing anybody, just masterminding the rollout. You feel me? So that's what that is, focusing our energy there and then doubling back on my music, whatever Graffiti Tech, wants to put out with, whatever. And Easy, definitely supporting what Easy got going on, putting energy behind that. Mike Even, shouts out to Mike Even. He's crazy. Probably one of the greatest in the city right now. So yeah, I just know when it comes to my music, I know how I like to roll things out, and I know how I like to create, and I know I'm not racing anybody. So it's like I don't really have any concerns. I'm just I got 10 fingers, 10 toes. I ain't tripping.
You've given me a lot of names and a lot of artists that I'm really excited to like dive into. Like I used to do some volunteering with So Far. That's obviously where I met you, and I got to experience a lot of great Baltimore musicians, but I haven't necessarily been as good about finding new stuff. So I'm really excited to just like listen to everybody you just sent me.
Yeah,
man.
No doubt. No, Easy. Yeah. If you're not familiar with Easy, definitely get hip. Mike Even, he dropped a 3 a.m. tape, which is crazy. You feel what I'm saying? And careers, like it's so much good music that's coming out of the city. Like I said, I didn't even name a whole lot of people, but what I did name, it's like, it's lit. You know what I mean? It's lit. Definitely need some more outlets, you know what I mean? Or just, some of the outlets to just pay more attention and just, I don't know, but we in the age of the internet, so it's like it really ain't no excuse these days. It's just like figure it out.
Yeah.
Get your music out there.
Yeah, for sure. What would you say to someone who wanted to start rapping or, who wanted to, do something creative? What would a piece of advice that you would give them?
It's about being true, yo. Like for real. Like if you're to me, like I said earlier, that's half the battle. If you're being your true authentic self, and not reaching. I'm down with, creatively challenging yourself and like, y'all want to try this. I want to whatever. Cool. I have a saying like, SYLGP, stay in your lane and get paid. But it's like, I've had a conversation with people like, yo, what does that mean? Stay in your lane. And I feel that because it's like, I know I'm well versed in certain stuff and I can do things that people may feel like, oh, I ain't see you doing that. And it's not none of your business what you think of me. Or, you know what I mean? That's really none of my business. So if you're being you, especially something you're good at and at being yourself, it's like that's half the battle and just staying true and not trying to reach to appease or please anybody. You feel what I'm saying? It's like, yo, rap, sing, draw, whatever you decide to do, stitch, like, do you master it? You feel what I'm saying? Learn about the industry, learn about that lane. You feel what I'm saying? Before you, whatever. But it's like, yo, as long as you being yourself and being true to yourself, you know what I mean? And you know if you being true to yourself or not, you feel what I'm saying? So, yeah, self-awareness is key. You feel what I'm saying? And if you don't understand that within this interview or whatever, go listen to Gary Vaynerchuk. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, yo, just go figure your shit out. You know what I mean? Do it right, you know? So, and show respect. Respect what's come before you. You feel what I'm saying? So, and it's one thing if people are like, yo, I don't know what's come before me and I haven't done any research on it. I'm just lit right here. I'm just good. That's all right. That's cool. You know what I mean? But you didn't, you know, if it's something you didn't create, you should probably do a little bit of studying, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, so, for sure. Understanding what came before
that's
you.
That's it.
Yeah. So, you know, I like at the end to just kind of any information, like you, you know, Greenspan 410 on Instagram, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to just go run through the socials, run through the, sure, the websites
so
and stuff?
So, yeah, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, Greenspan 410. Also from Baltimore with Love. It's IG from BaltimoreWithLove.com is the website and online store. No Food Deserts, of course, on IG. GoodVillainClothing.com, GoodVillainClothing on IG. That's the team. You know, GoGreenspan.com is my website. You feel what I'm saying? Definitely appreciate being here. Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, wherever you listen to music, you can stream both albums that have come out, anything I've been featured on. And
you got
and
a yeah, Bandcamp, SoundCloud.
Yeah, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, all that is if you type in Greenspan Baltimore, Greenspan 410, like, you know, everything should come up.
Man.
Yeah, so that's what that is. But like, Go Greenspan, that's really a hub. If you want to make it easy on yourself, gogreenspan.com, and you can just click the links.
Yeah.
You know, definitely appreciate being here. You feel what I'm saying? The best is yet to come. You know, right now, we just, like I said, No Food Doesn't, I'm sorry, From Baltimore with Love is absolutely taking priority over a bunch of things because it's just been going and people want to represent their city in love, you know what I mean? So, so yeah, shouts out to the Ravens for, you know what I mean, doing their thing, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, we're here at Charmed City. We're doing From Baltimore with Love. We're we're sending out the good vibes to everybody. And thank you again. It's been awesome to speak with you.
Yeah,
and I'm super excited to see what's next.
I very appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Charmed City. If you are interested in being interviewed, or if you're a local business interested in sponsoring us, please reach out to charmedcitypod@gmail.com.